All right, let's get started when you're ready. You ready? Then I'm ready. Are you all ready in the house of the Lord? Amen. Well, we welcome everybody listening to us on media platforms. We appreciate everybody. I love every single person. Some of y'all don't have the opportunity to write to us, but we love you. Ignited Church prays for you. If you have a prayer request, bring it to us, and we'll put it on a prayer cross. And we do pray and believe for miracles in your life. So I welcome everybody. Ignited, I love you. You guys are awesome. I appreciate you. I thank you for your love and your prayers for me. And I feel them daily as I continue to seek the Lord as far as what he wants to do in 2017 in a greater way, in a greater manifestation. All right, so let's get back into our teaching. Last time we got together, we were talking about deception and discernment, but this past couple Wednesdays have been discernment. I hope you've been learning something about discernment. And you could turn that board around, Brother Mike, if you don't mind, and we'll have some of these words written out already for you. So last time we got together, we were in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. And Paul, remember, he's saying, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." Now remember, he's talking in a fatherly term, in a family type of term. You know, I believe that the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously, but I believe the disciples and the apostles, man, they really loved each other. I do believe that. I believe the first church, like the last church, is going to be a church of koinonia. It's going to be where we love each other. You know, we understand our differences, and we overlook our faults. I didn't say sin. I said we overlook our faults and our parts of our lives that just are not the same as others, and we embrace each other for our diversities of gifts. And I think we're going to see that birthing ever so soon within the body of Christ. And I think one of the great things about Ignited Church, again, it's more than a church to me. I believe this is a movement. I believe it's a movement of the Holy Spirit, that God is doing awesome things. And in that movement, you begin to appreciate and value one another under the Holy Spirit. Because without the Spirit of God, you'll know somebody by the flesh. Doesn't the Bible teach us to know no man by the flesh? Because if I know you by the flesh, I'm probably not going to like you too much. You're probably not going to want to hang out with me. Is that right? But if I understand that you are a human, that you're saved and you're having an experience with the Holy Spirit and you're being developed, then I can appreciate you through the Word of God. All right, so that was a long statement, but this is what Paul was portraying and what he was releasing to those whom he was teaching, and I believe that's so important today. So he said, "I beseech you." And so how do I know that? Because beseech you means to beg. I literally beg you in the strongest of terms, in the strongest of desires. Man, I really want you to get this. Again, I believe if we act this way towards one another, that we just desire for you to be blessed. I desire for my brother and sister to succeed. I think that we would have a better outlook on each other, don't you? I think our pastors would be better pastors too. They would act like fathers instead of acting like brothers and fighting all the time and competing. All right. Verse 2, that you be not soon shaken. Remember, there was a lot of false prophecies going on, false teachers. Shaken, as you know, is a motion produced by the winds or storms. So many people are agitated with false prophecies out there today. They're agitated, they're thrown down, they're shaken down. Per se, because of the words and the prophecies and the teachings that are false. I just wish people would stick to an understanding of prophecy or an understanding of teaching and just preach the word instead of just getting all crazy and going off here and there. All right, so that was cool. And that was Ephesians, 4:14? Don't be tossed to and fro. Every wind of doctrine, being troubled, being fearful. I like consistency. I mean, I like consistency. I love consistency, man. I just drive. Let's just go. You know, let's do this thing. And so there's a lot of inconsistency going on in the body of Christ. And then you can go back. Remember, there's a falling away, apostasia, taking place in the church. We know that's happening right now. And then I gave you that prophetic key, which I thought was really, really cool, what the Holy Spirit showed me about the son of perdition, how that Judas Iscariot and John chapter 17, verse 12, the son of perdition, and then what's happening today with us betraying Israel, it's the same spirit. It's the spirit of Antichrist, Antichrist. And so we have to understand that. And it amazes me that so many people can see the events taking place. It's in the headlines. It's in every aspect of the daily news. And then sit there and act like Jesus isn't coming back. And then act like, you know, we've got 30, 40, 50 years, a lifetime. When you look at the word, and he said, these signs, these things, when you begin to see them, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. But I don't know. People amaze me when you listen to a lot of these preachers. They just don't know the word of God. They really don't. They just preach whatever their bishop tells them to, or whatever's in the quarterly magazine, if you know what I'm talking about. Or what's popular, whatever's trending. But we're not trendy people, amen? We're people of faith and the people of the word of God. All right, so let's go now to verse 6. I'm going to talk now about the strong delusion. That was my whole purpose last week. But I had to set you up to get to this point. There was so much teaching. There was no way that we could get to it all. By the way, good to see Carol here today. And she's going back Friday. Is that right? That's right. Well, we love you, and we're glad that you're here, Lisa's mom. And you were here at the right time helping Lisa out. Amen. It's all on time. All right. So check this out. Go to verse 5, because we finished at verse 4. We're talking about the temple. We're talking about Jerusalem. It's being divided, and the enemy's taking it over. And these are just highlights that the Apostle Paul is giving us to give us an understanding of future events. Check this out. Verse 5, he says, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things." Look at it again. "Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things." So here you go. You got confusion going on. You got the body of Christ all freaked out, if you will. They're in a frenzy. They're in a panic because false teachers and false prophets are saying the Lord has already come. They've missed this. They've missed that. Or, you know, the sky is falling and all these different things. And Paul said, wait a second. Let me be a father to you. I already told you these things. And I believe that's where we are right now in the church. We got to go back to the basics of prophecy, the basics of the end time scriptures, and say, look, he's already told us what's going to happen. Why are we so unstable? Why is the church in such confusion? Why is the church leaning on a reprieve and leaning on everything's going to be wonderful when the signs of the times are right before you? The word is right there. You're holding it in your hands right now. It's in black and white, other than in red where Jesus spoke. But yet we still have confusion, and people are vacillating between, is this the last days or is it not? Is Jesus coming, or are we going to have another so many odd years of prosperity and everybody's going to get a new car? I mean, it's the mentality that's happening in the church, and those who have hung on to the revelation of the prophetic word are being shaken from it, and they're losing their position of the end times and the understanding of it. And that's dangerous, because then you take down your guard. Come on. You stop preparing. You stop focusing. You stop praying, and you stop believing for the harvest that's about to come. Listen, most people who want to get raptured out of here, watch this now. I'm going to get a lot of people mad that they don't do too good at evangelism, because they're out of here. You know, it's almost one of those things. You better follow me and catch up, because I'm gone. But the people who understand the word of God and the prophetic time frame and timeline of God, they're always moving in ministry. They're always wanting to get people saved. We're always planning. We're always believing God. We're always prepping for people for eternity. Is that right? I think the best evangelists are those who understand we're going to go through hell to get to heaven. We understand we're going to go through judgment, and we're trying to get people ready. So that's my experience in life, that most people that are rapture ready and want to get out of here don't make too good of evangelists and don't help people with the essentials to live when things go crazy. Did you hear that? They don't give them the essentials. And what is the essentials? The word of God. Because, you know, everything's going to be wonderful and we're out of here. No, we got work to do, and a lot is coming at us. So look at verse 6. "And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." Verse 6. First of all, this understanding of Scripture has been really misconstrued by many preachers of pre-tribulation rapture and just different views of rapture. Again, everybody has their view. But understand this. This is talking about
the Holy Spirit not necessarily leaving the planet, but the restraining power. And it'll make more sense in just a minute. So watch it again. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Talking about what? The revealing of the Antichrist. But something is holding back. We're going to go into that more in just a minute. But I have to hit it and then jump off it. Now look at verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, verse 6 is explaining to us that the son of perdition is going to be revealed. The Antichrist is going to be revealed. Is that right? Because he said when? In his time or at a certain time. That word, and you know it, it's in the Greek, it's kairos. In an opportune time, in a seasonal time, he will be revealed. What did Jesus tell us? He said, you will know the seasons, didn't he? He said, you won't know the day or the hour, but you know the seasons. So we are seasonal people. If you're a farmer, the Williams family has farmed. If you've ever farmed or even grew anything in your garden, you're a seasonal person. Isn't that right? You know when to put it in the ground, and you know what seed to put in the ground. I don't think oranges do too good in Tocoa or banana trees. There's certain things that, you know, don't grow too well up in the mountain areas. You probably could grow some good coffee. But, you know, you don't grow things that belong in Colombia here in this part of the woods and this part of the country. So the point is this, that there is a time, an opportune time, there's a seasonal time that the Antichrist or the son of perdition will be revealed. And we are supposed to be people of timing, people of seasons. I feel like I'm reteaching this again because there's so many ignorant people that are out there that they're scratch their head and they're just wondering, where are we in Bible prophecy? It's right in front of you. Take your newspaper, get online, and look at the headlines. We are in chaotic times, which are seasons for the Antichrist to be revealed. Okay? Everybody got that? Now let's go back to verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity. Now the word mystery there, it means to be hidden. Hidden, the mystery things, they are hidden. Not hidden necessarily from us, but in secretive operation. Okay? They're hidden. What is hidden? The mystery of iniquity. Now, I got it up on the board there for you. Okay? Let me spell that for you. It's A-N-O-M-I-A. Ammonia. 458, 458 in your Strong's Concordance, that's Greek, okay? Ammonia, that is the word for iniquity. So it's mystery, which is hidden and secret. Ammonia is lawless. Lawless. This is very important that you see this. For the mystery or the hidden work or the secret work of lawlessness is in operation. Now, this is important that you hear the rest of this. Lawless, it means this, to be destitute of the Mosaic law. So, in other words, you can say it this way. You could say lawless, and you can also say godless. Because all law comes from the Word of God. All authority comes from the Word of God. To be in authority, you must be under authority. Is that right? To be in authority, you must be under authority. And so he said that there's a mystery or a hidden work of lawlessness, the spirit of iniquity. Okay? Lawlessness says, I don't give a rip about your God. I don't give a rip about the laws of man. I don't give a rip about the Constitution. I don't give a rip about the voting rights. I don't give a rip about human rights or anybody's rights. We don't understand the depth of this hatred right here. That's pure devil. When the devil will look at God and look at his word and blasphemy come out of his mouth and have no regard for anything pure, for the little baby inside the womb of a mother, or an elderly person that they would take their life in some medical form, euthanasia, and all this craziness that goes out in our world. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That whole new age, new world mindset that only the,
the young should live, and so on and so forth. But that's part of the mystery of iniquity. So the mystery of iniquity does what? Already works. That's your next word, for work. How does it work? What is this work that we're talking about? What word do I have up there? In fact, I don't have it up there because it's going to be engineer or energeneer down here. That's going to be it as well, but we're not going to go to that just yet because it's an easy word to understand. It just means effectual working, okay? It's effectual. It's working. It's doing the business that it was assigned to do. In other words, iniquity is always working. It's working in politicians right now. It's working all around the world, okay? So here we go. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So now I'm going to answer verse 6 in completion. The Holy Spirit, many teach that the Holy Spirit is going to leave the earth with the church in the rapture. First of all, that's not going to happen. The Holy Spirit, his assignment is the earth. His assignment is the church. His assignment is saving souls. His assignment is to see the completion to the end of the plan. Because when God breathed life and he created everything, the Holy Spirit stayed in the creative order of God and will not leave the planet. Do you understand? But some teach, how many of y'all heard it before, church goes, Holy Ghost goes. No, he doesn't. Exactly what happens is this. The Holy Spirit allows the mystery of iniquity, the spirit of lawlessness, to have its way. Go right ahead. He'll step right out of the way. Doesn't mean he leaves the planet. He just allows the Antichrist to have a boundary and a season of terror and a season of wrath. Watch this. I'm not teaching eschatology tonight, but this will give you a good understanding. How many years was Jesus on the earth in ministry? 3.5 years. 3.5 years of ministry. How long does the Satan get? 3.5 years. God's a fair God. God says, go ahead and see what you can do, you son of the devil. Is anybody here? He says, go ahead, let me see what you got. And he allows him to do that. But at the same time, he does have a chain around his neck. He holds on to him. So he that who lets and he who restrains, that's the Holy Spirit. We've been taught in the past that that's the church. The church is the restrainer. Well, we're not doing too good restraining evil. I think, we can't even restrain our own selves. Most preachers can't keep the britches up. I wish I had somebody. Don't make me sing Pants on the Ground, Pants on the Ground. Because some of y'all are like, how did he know that? Tim Hawkins. Tim Hawkins educates me, man. I don't know anything going on out there. And I watch Tim Hawkins. I'm like, oh, that's what that means. All right. So it's true, though. But that's the mindset. Hey, you know, the church is going to get out of here. We're gone and all that. And, you know, we're restraining. No, that's not happening. The Antichrist will be around when we're here. And I know that flies a lot of people's face because he's already here. He just hasn't been completely revealed and exposed yet, but that day is coming. I believe very soon, I really do, I believe very soon there will be no, my stepmom used to say this, no buts and buts about it. I don't know if that's good English or not, but there's no doubt about it. We're going to see this happening. Because why? We're in the season of this. All right, so watch. Verse 8. And then shall the wicked be revealed. The who? The wicked one. The Antichrist, the son of perdition, the SOP. He's going to come out. He's going to be revealed whenever the Holy Spirit allows him to be revealed. And there's a reason why God is going to allow this to happen, all right? And the wicked shall be revealed when the Lord, or excuse me, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and he shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, we know that's later on, but isn't that cool how God says, okay, I'm going to let him have his way for a little while, but I'm going to kill him. He's so awesome. God always gives us a promise. He gives us stuff that really freaks us out, but then he puts a word of faith in there and says, hey, by the way, I got it. It's going to be okay. You're going to suffer persecution in life, but guess what? The glory is going to fall on you. You know what I mean? You're going to be hated by all nations, but hey, that's okay. They hated everybody else, and your reward is great with me. He just has a way of comforting us, doesn't he? So that's all that is there. It's kind of like a little interlude or a little snapshot of the future. But it goes into verse 9.
even him who's coming after the working of Satan, with what? All power, signs, and lying wonders. So the Antichrist is going to come with all power, signs, and wonders. It's basically going to be Satan on earth. Now, let me just share this with you. I know there's different views of who people think the Antichrist is and whatever. And I'm not going to get into the debate. The point is this, because some people say, well, on this side, this person could be it, but they're pretty dumb and they're pretty arrogant or they're pretty this or whatever. But on this side, this person's, you know, can talk good and has a way with people, but blah, blah, blah. Here's the problem with all of that. When the Antichrist is revealed, the human person that is the vessel for this will be possessed of the devil himself. Not a demon spirit, not some fanatical freak, charismatic person. So what I'm saying is whoever he uses will have the power and the representation of the devil himself, because it's him. It's hell on earth. Do you understand how heavy this is? So all of our guessing and saying and this and that, and I'm with so many different, I got what people are saying in my conversations and my own personal belief, but it doesn't matter what I think in the human quality of the person. It is, man, when that happens, he's come. I mean, Satan has come, and all of a sudden, all the cunningness and craftiness and all the signs and wonders and miracles will be performed by this entity, and even the elect, even people in the church will be deceived because they don't know this Bible, because they don't know the season they're in. They don't discern. They're living in sin. They think that it's going to come another day, and they're going to be so gullible because they didn't want to know the truth. And I'm going to tell you something. God is going to help them. Watch this. In just a minute, I'll clarify that statement. God is going to help those who don't love the Word of God. He's going to help them in a negative way. In other words, have at it. Have at it. You want to sin? You want to do all this? Well, guess what? So check it out. Power, signs, and lying wonders. Lying wonders. Please, we're teaching on discernment and deception. Lying wonders. He is going to have the ability. And I'm just throwing this out there because the miracles can be whatever. Water to wine. It doesn't matter. Celestial shows, alien appearances, limbs growing back, miracles, healings. The devil will have the ability to do this because he's been empowered to do it. How many of y'all wish the rapture was now? But the reality is we got work to do, and we're going to be helping fighting against that spirit by speaking the truth. By being like, I'm about to preach now. We're going to be like Moses. You go ahead and let your little snakes wither on the ground. We're going to throw our stake down. We're going to throw our rod down. He's going to gobble up all your little snakes. Man, I'm telling you right now. You're going to see a battle of the prophets of God. Now, I'm talking about the guy or gal behind the microphone. I'm talking about you. You. Signs and wonders and miracles. Okay. So verse 10, watch this. And with all, how much is all? All is all that all will ever be, right? All is all. And with all deceivableness, in other words, deception, of unrighteousness, and with all deceivable, I can't even say the word, it's so bad. All deception. Every aspect of deception, media, he will use deception through. Any form and fashion. How? Of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Wow. Deceivableness. Deception. Deceivableness to the point to where people begin to believe the signs and wonders of the devil. And I'm talking church folk too. Why? Why does that happen? Because they don't love the truth.
I'm talking to backslidden people. I'm talking to lukewarm. I'm talking to those that don't read their Bible, those that don't go to church, those don't really care about knowing truth. He said they are going to be deceived. All manners of deception and unrighteousness to them that perish because they received not the love of truth that they might be saved. I'm telling you, there's people that sit in churches every single Sunday and every single Wednesday, and they don't love this truth. They don't love the word because they don't practice the word at home. They don't love the word. And I'm not beating somebody up because you don't read 6,000 verses a day. Or you pray, 5 hours a day. Come on, let's be realistic here. But you know what I'm talking about. When those who don't love the truth, they don't have an agape love for truth. They would rather be deceptive. They would rather watch television. They would rather do this in entertainment and entrapment than spend time with God. Does anybody bear witness what I'm talking about? Revelation chapter 13, verse 13. Let's go there real quick. I had that written down. Let's see what I was looking at right there. We're talking about the Antichrist. We're talking about people who don't love the truth and how they're going to be deceived. Say, well, man, that really scares me. I'm glad. Get a Bible and read it. We give free Bibles out here at church. You ain't got a Bible, right over there. Go get your free Bible. Look what it says here. This talking about that spirit, talking about the Antichrist. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven and earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Are you talking fire from heaven? Now think about this for a second. All of our lukewarm churches let's just talk about America, all these churches that we have that are lukewarm, ain't got no healings going on, ain't no signs and wonders and miracles going on, couldn't blow the fuzz off of a peach. Couldn't heal a flea of a headache. And they walk in, shuffle in their church, lukewarm, dried up milk toast, Laodicean, backslidden churches. And all of a sudden you see this type of Elijah movement, this type of Moses experience. What do you think them folks are going to do? Jesus, that's God, look at that, wow. Because they ain't never seen it before. They've never heard it preached in their churches. They never heard their pastor on fire. They never saw any signs and wonders and miracles. And they're going to drink this up, swallow it, eat it. Because in their minds, they think this is right and this is God. Why? Because they didn't love the truth. Oh, I'm about to preach. It ain't Sunday, but you fixing to get a Sunday preaching right here. Because I'm going to tell you something. You ain't going to point a finger at me. Nair one of you. Those listening to me now, you ain't pointing a finger at me. Say, well, he ain't more than me. I'm warning you right now. Get in the Bible. Know Jesus. Know the Word of God. If you got to get saved 20 times this week, get saved.
Well, I was saved back in 1902.
I can tell. Because you ain't done nothing since 1904. I mean, come on, man. If you got to tie your hands to the altars here, tie them. I lay hands on you every Sunday. We'll pray the sinner's prayer until Jesus comes. Just stay saved. You know what I mean? We have this mindset in the church. We're microwave. One time and you're done. Bing. No, honey, you're going to go through hell when you get saved. We don't disciple people that way. We say, get saved, be like me. Ding. Pearl drop toothpaste. Some of you know about the pearl drop. In the 80s, man, if you didn't have pearl drop toothpaste, you wasn't smiling right. I mean, my dad told me one time, use baking soda. I tried that stuff. I spit it out 50 ways out of Sunday, man. I couldn't get that stuff out of my mouth fast enough. But see, parents like ours, they're true grit, man. They were raised strong. I said, man, give me some Colgate. All right, check this out. So, all deception. Why? Because they didn't love the truth. And I'm just barely touching on the manifestation of the Antichrist in the last days. But this is what people are missing. We think this is going to be some slick politician. It's deeper than that. It's greater than that. This is signs and wonders and miracles that can deceive people, that will lead nations astray. And we have our minds so shallow, and we think it's this person or that person because of their characteristics and things like that. Honey, it is going to blow our minds away when we see the manifestation of the SOP, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. It's going to blow us away. Now, to those who are born again, we're going to be like, we have an ABP, all points bulletin. We got the mugshot right here. It's in the Bible. We're like, uh-uh. That's him right there. That is him. That's the devil incarnate right there. But I'm going to tell you something. We'll know, but the church won't. Most churches won't know. They'll have no idea. They already do with politicians. The Antichrist is coming through the birth canal of politics. Do you understand that? He'll be a man of power, a man of war, but he'll be a man of the ability to speak eloquently. And we're going to be duped. We're already duped. The church is already duped. The church is already set up for the Antichrist to come because we are so gullible and so in love with politics it stinks. People get mad at me when I don't try to be political. Honestly, I'm apolitical. I don't care about politics. I really don't. I wish I lived on an island somewhere where it was just me, my family, and you guys, you know, and a few others in a Walmart, and we need a Chick-fil-A. I mean, just a few things in life. You know, I don't want to be too, you know, selfish, but, you know, maybe a Dairy Queen. That's about all, you know. But I'm serious. I wish we lived in that land, you know, the New Jerusalem, where Jesus just ruled and reigned, and you loved him. If you didn't love him, you're on the outside. But we're not there yet, so we have to deal with these things. And people get upset, but I'm just telling you, I'm not going to be gullible. I'm not going to be led astray. I'm not going to have my church led astray. I'm not going to let my family be led astray because we're in the hour of the revelation of the Antichrist. I believe that with all of my heart. Now, I'm not saying 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months. I'm saying we're in that season. How long that takes, I don't know. But we're closer today than we were yesterday. And no signs are turning us backwards. We are like full throttle. I feel like we're doing a hole shot at the jet fuel drag strip. Man, I like to go see some of them, baby. You know, I'm a weird guy, but sometimes, man, I just do this to myself. I'll watch drag racing on videos on YouTube, and it just excites me, man, because I feel like God's like that. You know what I mean? He's so fired up. He's so full of power. And anyways, I'm weird. Makes me feel good, amen? Makes me want to get a dragster. We should get a dragster for Ignited. Wouldn't that be awesome? That would be awesome. We just race everybody in town, and I'm just messing with you. But I'm being serious. Wouldn't that be awesome? But see, I think these things, I think about the power of God, I think about his presence, and I also think about in this last day how that we will be deceived by the false power of God, the false revelation of Christ. Jesus said, look, man, if they say I'm in the desert, don't you go. He said it for a reason. He said it for a reason. I'm going to tell you why he said it for a reason. It's going to be, watch this, it's going to be like a counterfeit $100 bill. If you don't know the signs, you won't know no different. Anybody ever seen a counterfeit bill before? Anybody ever just passed one, didn't mean it? Some of y'all made some, I know, but let me get, Elder, I'm looking at you. That's why that shed light is on at night, all night. She's back there making 50. No, I'm just kidding. The ATF's going to be here in no time. Where's that Elder you're talking about? Oh, my gosh. But if you ever dealt with it, come on. I have to tell you this real quick story, and I got to go on. But I was at this is how bad times are. I had a dollar bill at that Dollar Tree. They lifted up to see if it was counterfeit. I felt like a thief. I felt like any minute they was, you know, bad boys, what you going to do? They will come flying out of the pantry and arrest me. And I literally was looking at a dollar to see if it was counterfeit. I said, man, we got that low? But listen, you can't tell if you don't understand counterfeit, if you never mess with money, you don't know the difference. And that's why the church is going to be in trouble, because we won't know the difference. That's why Jesus said, if they say I'm there, don't go, because the carbon copy or the counterfeit is going to look so real. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. People are going to run to the devil, and he's not going to announce himself. Listen to me. He's not going to announce himself with a pitchfork, come on, and a long red cape and say, yeah, I'm the devil. He's not going to do that. He is going to present himself as a slickster. He's going to present himself as the angel of light. He's going to present himself as the cunning, crafting devil that he is, that has fooled you and I for all these years. Listen, people say, well, we'll be smarter than the devil. He's had over 6,000 years to figure man out. He's made the biggest and the baddest of men fall to their knees, hasn't he? Through the power of women, through the power of lust, the power of money, and so on and so forth. And the church, who's ignorant of the times, is going to find themselves in trouble. All right, y'all taking up my time with all your stories. So look here. Verse 11. And for this cause, what cause? Don't blame everything on y'all. For this cause, what cause? What are you talking about? The cause of not loving the truth. The cause of not loving the Word of God. The cause of not being hungry for the things of God. The cause because you didn't fight against abortions. You didn't fight against unrighteousness. You didn't stand up and say, no, that's wrong. I'm not going to be part of that. I'm not going to support preachers who do what they do. I'm not going to be a part of a denomination. I'm not going to send money to these slicksters. Listen now. Watch, this is very powerful, and you need to stay tuned. And for this cause, God shall send. He shall send. That's your next word right here. PMO. PMO. You ready for this? P-E-M-P-O. Or PIMPO. There's different ways to translate it and to pronounce it, but it's 3992. P-E-M-P-O for those listening and not here tonight. Watch this. He said he was going to send. The word send means to interject or to thrust as an object or a thing into something. Let me tell you it again. To thrust, to insert, to thrust a thing or an object into another. Just think of injection. Let's do that. Let's look at it that way. To inject or to thrust. What is God doing? Watch. And for this cause, what cause? You didn't love the truth. God shall inject or he shall thrust strong. Let's break down the word strong. Okay? Energia. It's right there, your next word. E-N-E-R-G-E-I-A, it's a Greek word, 1753, energia, okay? Strong, which is energia, which means effectual working, okay? Watch this, you're going to flip out on this one. It means strong, energia, it means effectual working, superhuman power. In other words, it's beyond your power. It's supernatural. It's superhuman power. And I'm going to give it all to you in one big sandwich. Strong, that's energia. Delusion. That word is P-L-A-N-E, plana. It's just the way it's pronounced. It's spelled differently. P-L-A-N-E. That Greek is 4106. 4106. All right. That means, the delusion word means wandering, straying. It also ties into mental straying. And I'll read it again. Error. And here's the biggest part of it. Wrong opinion,
relative to morals or religion. Error, wrong opinion relative to morals or religion. This is powerful. 1 Timothy 4:2, you want to write that down, tells us what? That there are those that can have their conscience seared with a hot iron. Is that right? I literally believed in all of my life of sinning and being far from God, I felt like my conscience was seared with hot iron. I mean, I had no conscience whatsoever. I didn't care what happened. I didn't, you know, sin was, that was on my agenda. I woke up with sin. I had sin for lunch. I had sin for snack. I had sin, come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. It was just sin. That's my whole life. What are you going to do today? I'm going to sin. What are you going to do tomorrow? I'm going to sin some more. Y'all act like angels in here. You know it's the truth. That's all we did was on our menu. Now watch. For this cause, what cause? The lack of loving the truth. God shall send or insert or thrust strong or effective delusion, which is wandering, straying, or mental straying, and wrong opinion about things that deal with morality and religion. So let me read it to you the way I wrote it. Because they love not the truth, God will thrust and insert effectual working superhuman mental straying error that will cause deception towards moral and religious aspects so that they would believe a lie. Let me show you to you what this is the breakdown version of this. In other words, God says, you know what? You don't want to believe the truth. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to come in or move out of the way. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to move out of the way, and the enemy is going to come in. The spirit of Antichrist will be revealed. And because you don't love the truth, I am going to allow him to insert and allow you to be injected with such deception and mental wandering away from morality and religion. In other words, have your way. You want to sin? Go for it. I'm gonna give you carte blanche. Go for it. You just go for it. People say, I can't believe God will do that. God says, that's it. Go for it. This is what you wanted to do, America. This is what you wanted to do, world. You want to act out. You want to be in sin. You want to do all these things. Guess what? I am giving you the opportunity to do it, and I'm going to help you. Really quiet in this Presbyterian Catholic monastery. But I'm giving you the word. The word lie is pseudo. I almost broke out in a Phil Collins song. See, all y'all 80s guys, the old 80 rockers, like, go, Pastor. Do it. Maybe one night we'll have, yeah, studio. We'll have a karaoke night. Not. Okay. So that's what? Studios. P-S-E-U-D-O-S. Greek is 5579. 5579. Okay. So we know what studio. It's a lie. So, but here's the definition. Here's a better definition. You ready? Intentional falsehood. And I love this. Watch. Whatever is not what it seems to be. Whatever is not that seems to be. In other words, people are not going to see through the facade because God's going to give them such a strong delusion. He'll turn them over to their sin. He'll turn them over to a reprobate mind. They'll turn them over to a seared conscience with a hot iron. And God will say, if this is what you really want because you don't love the truth, go for it. And people can't understand how deadly this is going to be and how much sin's going to be on the earth. Right now, we have a restraining force. Right now, things are pretty calm, even though they're crazy. People getting shot everywhere and having in our own community and craziness is happening and murder suicides are happening. But imagine when the Holy Spirit finally says, all right, go ahead. You rejected me. You rejected my word. You rejected truth. You churches, you rejected righteousness. You didn't want anything to do with the preaching of holiness and salvation and discipleship and blah, and blah. God says, guess what? Here it goes. You can have it. Enjoy your day. Now, you're not going to hear this preached in a lot of places because preachers won't touch this, but this is the word of God. You study it. You look at what I just read and what I just studied to you. That's exactly what God is going to do at the appearance of the Antichrist. And folks, we're there. We are very, very there. And we are very close to seeing the enemy revealed. Now watch. Let's go on verse 12, and I'm out of your way.
that they all might be damned. Wow, that's pretty heavy. Well, I thought he was a loving God. He's a loving God. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He promised that. But there comes a time when man will just say, the heck with you, God. I'm not listening to you preachers anymore. And even church folk, they're just like, I don't want to hear. Shut that preacher up. Don't ever bring his stuff in my house or her stuff. I don't want to hear nothing about holiness. I don't want to hear him scream. I don't want to hear them talking about judgment anymore. I'm fine with God the way I am. And you will not believe the truth. And look what he says. God says, I didn't write this, by the way, so don't get mad at me. He said, because you didn't love the truth, I'm going to inject to you and I'm going to thrust into you the ability for you to be deceived. And you know why? Verse 12, so that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God's not damning them. God is saying, I'm going to allow you to have what you want to have. How many of y'all know that when you weren't saved, God just allows you to do what you were doing? And if it wasn't for his grace, you'd be in hell right now. I used to tell people all the time when I testified about my past, there's three places I was headed to. I was headed to the hospital, I was headed to the prison cell, or I was headed to hell. There was no monastery in there. There was no church in there. Those were three places I was headed to. And guess what? I should have been there. Can anybody testify? But by his grace, I accepted the plan of salvation, and I'm born again. So are you. So there's coming a time that when this Antichrist system, this Antichrist spirit, the devil himself, comes on the earth, he will deceive the church in such a way that they will buy into the lies, and God will wash his hands and say, okay, if that's what you want to do. Does that mean that people can't get saved? I never said that. People can get saved. But we're talking about the judgment of God, and God finally saying, I'm going to give man what he wants. This is powerful truth. You say, Pastor, okay, you scared me. I don't think I can sleep tonight. What do I do about it? Well, first of all, you just, if you're born again, you ain't got to worry about this. But the remedy really is, and the antidote, is stay in the Bible. Stay in the truth. Stay in the Word of God. If you got unforgiveness in your heart with somebody, get it right. Get things dealt with in your life. And just keep your heart as clean as possible before God. And just stay in the Bible. Amen? And this isn't a commandment or even a scripture, but you should go to Ignited Church, too. If you live here. I'm just kidding. All right, guys. I love you. Jesus is coming, man. Woo-hoo! But we got a lot of work to do till then. Father, love you so much. Thank you for your word. God, I know there's people listening tonight that this really bothers them. And I pray that they get saved, number one. I pray that they get baptized in the Holy Ghost today. And I pray that if you're a nominal Christian out there and you're backslidden, man, I love you. But get into the Bible. Get into the truth. Shut down your media sites that you go to and bombard your brain with all kinds of craziness. And read the Bible and find out what God is telling you by the Holy Ghost. And get a great relationship with him. Father, we love you and we bless you. We're looking for the coming of the Lord, but we're looking for the great revival as well. Bless your people in Jesus' name. I love y'all.